What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Suplex City Geeks. It's Steve here, and joining me today, I got Brian.
What's up?
Chillin', dude. Chillin'. It's been another fun fucking week of wrestling, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Been a lot of good shit going on. AEW was awesome. Granted, yeah, we're recording this a little bit later than usual, so we gotta, you know, pick up a little bit of the slack from last week. And so, of course, you know, ow, cat, stupid cat. yeah, we're picking up the slack from last week pretty much, because it's been a little bit more than a week. We had Dynamite, Rampage, SmackDown, SummerSlam, and Raw again. So, yeah, it's been a hell of a week. There's so much shit going on. I guess we could start with Dynamite from last week. That was pretty fucking cool. I really enjoyed Dynamite last week. It was a little bit different because, of course, you know, at this point, we got word that Triple H was pretty much taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna you know, kind of up our game just a little bit more.
Right.
And they did so in a pretty good damn way. And starting off Dynamite with Rouge versus Moxley. Fantastic fucking match.
Yeah.
Two totally different styles, but both like heavy hitting, like always. And Mox, like always. Mox is like the new Ric Flair with like, I don't know if he's cutting or what the fuck he's doing. But every single match,
he's just blood.
Yeah, just full of blood. He loves bleeding, and I love it. Such a fun match. Mox just knows how to fucking work the ring, and he knows how to put just about everybody over, which is what I enjoy, because he's of course, you know, he's essentially, you could say he's a he's a bit of a grizzled veteran, you can say now, right? You know, he's been around for a good bit. This is his second time with the AEW championship. And we just see that, like, he just wants to fight. Because he'll do it just about everywhere. Literally everywhere. Because he's about to be like a GCW show, I think, next weekend or a week after this. But he's fucking good. And if you haven't read his book, go check out his fucking book, Mox. It's a great fucking book. But yeah, Rouge also, like, he's only been in AEW for just a little bit. I don't think he's officially signed yet, but he steps his game up every single match that he's around. And just up until this last match, he was pretty much undefeated. He was going 10-0 until now, until this match. And he's really good. He's really good. Yeah. His lucha style mixed with, you know, a little bit of the North American style is actually pretty damn good.
And it's really fun enjoyed, to,
you know,
fun to watch.
Yeah. Just like he has a style very similar to Andrade. Granted, yes, they're both tagged together. So, like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the Ingobernables, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're really fucking good, yo. So it's really cool to see him around in AEW now, and adding a little bit of flavor to the mix. You know what I mean? it's good shit. It's good shit. Then what other match did we had on Dynamite? It was Mox. Then we had Hook, not Hook, but Danhausen was going up against Ricky Starks.
Yeah.
And I was expecting a little bit more.
Me too. That match seemed a little too quick.
Not just that it was too quick. It was like, from what it looks like so far, since Danhausen has pretty much debuted as far as in-ring style, he I've seen him fight previously in the indies, not just in the indies, but like in ROH, and he's really good.
Yeah.
But from what we've seen so far in the last, what, like four matches that he's had, he's essentially just been the comedic.
He's been a comedic jobber for AEW.
Yeah. And it kind of makes me sad. Because, like, I enjoy what he does in the ring, and I enjoy how he's doing things. But he just does quick matches. Granted, he's probably not feeling up to actually going down a good 15 minutes.
Right. I mean, he's probably still not fully healed.
Right.
You know, it could be something like that. Because that was an awkward injury that he had.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Which I get, which is why probably, you know, he didn't win the FTW championship.
Right.
Which is completely fair. And then but you know, also like between him and Ricky Stark, they've had plenty of other matches on the indies. They actually like went head to head for quite some time. They were also going from coast to coast together for a while.
Right.
So, like, they knew each other back and forth, and it was cool to see them both in ring. Again, sad that he lost. But then Ricky Starks at the other match was like, yo, like, I really, really came to fight. And this was nothing. So the open challenge stays open. Which led to Hook coming out. And that was fun.
Now, it was a quick match, but it was fun. It was a lot of
In typical Hook fashion.
Yeah. Like very like rounded out, perfectly timed, like countering.
Yeah. He's a hell of a worker, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to work the ring. He knows how to work his opponent, no matter who it is.
Yeah,
he uses the amateur wrestling style as well as the pro wrestling style and like his judo stylings and his trainings. You know, of everything that he knows, he uses it really, really well.
Yeah,
which made this match like the perfect type of match for him because, of course, his dad was the creator of the FTW championship.
Yeah.
And he won, and it's perfect that he actually won the title. He was good. He was really fucking good. We kind of talked about it previously that we were like, oh, like, is Hook going to have any type of anything within this match?
Right.
Is he going to show up somehow? Is he going to do something? Because, you know, essentially he originally was a part of Team Taz, because, of course, he is his son and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But how would that have played about? And then we got the way it was. Because we both thought, oh, yeah, you know, we'll have to interfere.
Yeah, I was going to say, you thought that maybe like Hook was going to turn on Danhausen, go back to his old ways.
Yeah.
Because his character is such like a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't hear from him. He just literally comes out, does his thing, goes home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always been, and I love that about him, that he's like super just like, he's intimidating.
Yep.
But yet, just by him walking out, doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like leaning up against the wall in his hoodie with his chips.
Yep.
You know, and then that's it. Like, you don't hear what he says, and then it's like he literally came out at later on versus interfering. He came out and was like, you know what? Challenge is open. I'm gonna do it.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. And he gave him the red room, and that was that.
Yeah.
Formerly known as the Formerly known as the Taz Mission.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a great fucking move.
Yeah.
And the thing, the only person that does it other than him is also Anna Jay. She does that too. But like, I like the way this worked out. Like, I like the fact that Hook is now the FCW champion, and they kind of gave it a little bit more, you know, validity as a title, even though it's technically not considered a title. But
yeah,
it did give it a little bit of, you know, substance and, you know, and feel for them actually having it there.
Yeah, you know, like, that title would likely not be there if Taz was not part of that company.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we got Hobbs. Turning on Starks, which I sort of didn't see. We didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming at all. I was not expecting him to turn on him. Because before that, like, he turned on him just as Ricky Starks was giving an incredible
Promo. Yeah. Promo. The whole My Time Is Now promo.
Yeah. And that was essentially a babyface promo.
Yeah.
Because we saw him, we've seen him essentially as a heel since he pretty much started.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first time that you're like, oh shit, like I wanna be on this dude's side.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, Powerhouse just smacks, just like clotheslined the back of him.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked him out. And then what was so good was that he did the villain stance. He just stood right above him, just stared at him for a while before he walked away. That made it just that much better, instead of just, you know, having the camera cut or go somewhere else and do something else.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. So it's really good to see what, you know, essentially the whole Team Taz is no more.
Right.
Unless you're going to have Hook and him as, you know, a good tag team or whatever, like a good, you know, Team Taz, but, you know, not heels anymore, babyface Team Taz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which you don't expect, because it doesn't sound, that just doesn't sound right.
No.
A babyface Team Taz.
No, yeah.
It doesn't sound right at all. It just sounds gross just even saying it.
that sounds like something that Vince McMahon would have come up with.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. But yeah, like I was not expecting. We weren't expecting Powerhouse to turn just like that. But it's cool because now we actually get to see Powerhouse do his own thing. He's pretty good on the mic. We haven't seen him do a lot on the mic in some time.
Right,
but
he's a great in ring performer.
Absolutely, and also the fact that he's come a long way since he started with AEW.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and just seeing the way he's grown, you're just like, holy shit! Like, he's getting better and better every single match, every single time he's in the ring. I'm like, okay, I like where he's going. I want to see him and. Him go up against just about anybody, because there's a lot of dudes that he can go up against that would be a very, very, very good tag, a good match.
Yeah,
like him against Wardlow would be awesome. We kind of got a taste of it over on what was the last pay per view? They had a good going back and forth. So I'm excited to see this dude is gonna do.
Yeah,
as a baby face, I'm also excited to see where Ricky Starks is going to go, because he's a fucking superstar, dude. He knows how to talk.
Yeah.
And he has a hell of an in-ring personality, man. He's really damn good. So yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that happen. I want to see how everything turns out in the long run. Then we got another cool match. The match of the, you know, the flying guys. Because that's essentially what they do.
Dante the Martin. Flying guys.
Yeah, the flying guys. Dante Martin and Sammy Guevara. Two of the biggest high flyers that we get that are in AEW right now.
Two guys that are fun to watch solo.
Yeah.
You know, but going up against each other in That yeah, that was a lot of flying.
It really was. Like, it makes me wonder, like, yo, like, do we qualify for, like, having, like, high flyer miles and shit? Like, freaking right? Flyer miles? But that shit was fucking dope. That was a really good fucking match. Because their counters, their back and forth were just so fucking good. That I was just like, holy shit. Can this get any better? And it was really good. It was a really good damn match. Unfortunately, you know,
Guevara won because of the JAS.
Yeah, because of exactly. Which I'm not surprised that was gonna come about. But it was cool that Dante came out with Sky Blue, because that essentially is like his real life girlfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just as Ty is, you know, Sammy's fiance now. And which I think is weird, because Sammy, like, at one time proposed to his last girlfriend on national TV.
So he was basically John Cena.
Yeah. So he proposed to her before, and then she disappeared. Not that she disappeared, but he pretty much broke up with her and shit, which was kind of sad. But yeah, now this is happening.
So after this led to the Jungle Boy promo.
Yeah, which is another fucking killer promo. Jungle Boy, he's really good. This is probably his best promo that he's ever done.
Yeah, and is Luchasaurus keeping the jet black heel look, even though he's face?
I don't know.
Because the look, I mean, the dark mask and the black pants really fit better, in my opinion.
As a heel character, exactly.
Yeah, but now he's face, sort of. Like, it's like he's... Yeah. It's almost like he's undecided.
Mm-hmm.
But yet leaning more toward his best friend.
Yeah. So I want to see where this is going to be. I want to see where this is going to go.
He called him, Jungle Boy called Christian a pussy.
Yeah. He also called out Christian for wanting to, like, ride his coattails because he wasn't, you know, he pretty much got divorced and shit, and and him wanted to go after his mom because, of course, you know, his wife left them and shit. That is fucked up shit. But that shit hit hard. I was like, okay, I see where you're coming from, Jungle Boy. I like it. He's slowly becoming Jungle Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not the first time anybody's ever heard it, but I figured I'd say it again because it fits. Because it's
a little bit.
He's growing up in the last, what, 3 years that he's been around.
Then we also got, let's see, Brandon Cutler informed the Young Bucks of the newly announced Trios Championships, which led Matt and Nick Jackson talking to Hangman Page. Yep. Hint.
Yeah.
And then the Dark Order interrupted.
Yep. Which essentially the whole thing there, because for those that don't know, is that the Young Bucks and Hangman Page used to be the Trios Champions in ROH back in the day. They used to go by the Hung Bucks. That was their Trios name. This is very interesting.
And those are nice looking titles too.
Yeah, beautiful fucking titles.
They really like. They just look. They look not professional, but like classy. Yes, classy. They look like old school titles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a modern take.
Yep. Which is what I really like about the AEW titles in general is that they're very like
they're not gaudy.
They're old school and like different than like what, you know,
like the way the AEW world title looks is an old school style with a modern twist, and it's not as like it's not as gaudy and tacky as like the last five WWE world titles.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last...
All of them, not just the last five, pretty much all of them as of late.
Well...
The exact same.
The Winged Eagle, the classic, that was always, you know, a good-looking belt.
Yeah.
And then the shape of the Smoke and Skull belt, even though that didn't last very long, but that shape of the plate was a good look with the coloring. But then, you know, once you got like the spinner title and all that other shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they made when Edge had his long time run, like the spinner title stopped spinning and it just had his logo. It's like it fit the character, but it was just tacky looking.
Yeah, very.
You know? So then our next match was Swerve Strickland versus Smart Mark Sterling and Tony Nese with what the stipulation was that
if Swerve loses, he would essentially get kicked out of AEW.
Yeah, but the other thing was that Keith Lee had to like stay in the back. He was banned from.
Yes, you're right.
I literally almost called him Bearcat Keith Lee.
Which is fair.
That's
what it was. It's what it was back
then. I thought it was. That was another thing that Vince McMahon thought was a great fucking idea because he's a fucking tool.
Because he's a genius, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he loves working these characters.
I saw a thing today that said Vince Russo still believes that McMahon is behind it all from wherever he's hiding.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but at the same point, it's like you can tell he's not involved anymore.
Yeah.
Because the potential news floating around that, you know, that Naomi and Sasha Banks are coming back. The fact that they're actually talks means that Vince is no longer in the company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, well, whatever. Back to AEW. Yeah. So, that was a hell of a match. I expected Swerve to win, but they really made it feel like he was not going to in a lot of different moments.
Right. Yeah. Especially, not only that, but also it being a handicap match.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, Smart Mark, of course, he's not like the quintessential wrestler that we would like to see in AEW because he is actually pretty good in ring.
He's pretty damn good, yeah.
But he's more of a comedic role in this as well.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see. And also, you know, Tony Nese is actually really damn good too.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had his run in over in NXT as well.
Yeah.
And he was good then, and he is pretty damn good now. Like he is what is it, the professional he calls himself or some shit like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. But he's good. He's good at what he does. And this was a fun match, but of course, you know, Swerve is fucking good. He took on both dudes and he actually like he came out with the win. And just as he was celebrating, we see Josh Woods, the former ROH, what is it, the former pure champ.
Yeah.
Attacking Keith Lee in the back, which was essentially planned by Tony Nese and Smart Mark, which is very interesting. And I want to see where this whole little thing is going because, of course, now we're not going to get, you know, any more Ricky Starks and Hobbs. We're not going to get that anymore. So we're going to get this. We're going to get this now, which is going to be pretty cool. It's going to be interesting to see how this pans out in the long run.
Yeah. Then we had Thunder Rosa versus Yamashita for the title.
Yes. Which was a great fucking match. We saw the preview, the first match, which happened over in Stardom, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
A really good match. They actually aired it on Dark a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It was really fucking good. And at that point, you know, Yamashita actually, you know, she came up with a win over Thunder Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, okay. It was granted at that point it wasn't for the title, it was just for a chance at getting the title, which you said, we knew you, of course, you know, if you lose. Or yeah. If you know the champ loses, you're gonna get the shot.
Yeah.
But it was cool that, you know, 2 weeks later you see her on AEW, regular AEW TV. In essentially the co-headliner match.
So the now, yeah. So now that makes you wonder, are they going to have a rubber match for the title?
That would be awesome. That would be really damn good.
Because it would also be nice to see somebody other than Thunder Rosa hold the title.
Yeah, yeah.
She had it for a while.
Yeah, she's had it for a little bit. She's had it for a couple months already. But what sucks is that she hasn't had that many defenses.
Yeah.
She's had a lot of matches, and she's had a lot of, like, she's had a couple tag team matches and a couple things here and there, but she hasn't really had a lot of title defenses. I think the only time she's defended the title was at, like, the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see her come through and actually do something else. I want to see her do more. Granted, yes, we do need a lot more women's wrestling in AEW right now. They have some, but there's a lot of potential for more.
Yeah.
And something that I saw earlier was that they're trying to copyright all Elite Women's, which could essentially be kind of calling out the fact that, like, they may be doing an all women's pay-per-view.
Interesting. Interesting. Which
would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how true that is, or, you know, or what I saw, but that it could happen, which would be really cool because they have a lot of potential. They have a lot of good women there that, you know, deserve some shine.
Yeah.
Other than just being on Dark.
Yeah.
If you look at it, a lot of their women's wrestlers wind up on Dark.
Always on Dark. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
definitely true. Yeah. So our main event was the returning Bryan Danielson versus Daniel Garcia.
Yes.
Which that was the match I actually did not get to watch because that was when. So for those of you that listen, you guys know that this family got hit with COVID. And so basically I had to order food and I couldn't go out to go get dinner. And my buzzer was broken of all times. And so I had to go outside wearing a mask and wait for my dinner. And so I got the notification saying that my food was on its way and this was the time to be ready and be out, you know, like be ready or whatever. And so I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I grab a mask, I go downstairs, and I'm outside. And that was the entirety of the match because the food did not show up when it was supposed to. And so therefore, I missed the match. The TV was on, and my wife was like, Danielson lost. And I was like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, when does he lose? Yeah. You know? When does any member of the BCC lose?
Right, exactly. But what essentially it is, it was putting the new dude over.
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, that you said you don't need it to happen.
Right.
But it's good that somebody with Bryan Danielson's tenure, you can say.
Yeah.
The fact that he's been in wrestling for a long time.
Yeah.
He's held champions everywhere. He's been all over the place.
He put over a guy who essentially was not ever going to do this again because of a car wreck.
Right, exactly.
You know, that could have killed him if not left him paralyzed for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by some miracle, Daniel Garcia is alive and well, and, you know, and and doing his thing, and he's a great performer. He still got it, and that's because, you know, that he's young and he has that drive to not,
he doesn't want to fail.
And the fact that he's part of the JAS, you know, that Chris Jericho in real life has, you know, helped him a massive amount because he's such a, you know, granted he's like the biggest heel ever, you know, he's still a human that like cares about fellow humans and like,
yeah, exactly.
And he sees this young kid with the drive, with the it, and he helped him get back and he brought him into his appreciation society, and you know, and the gimmick works well for Garcia.
It really does. You would think wouldn't, but yeah, it does.
It's like the only one of the JAS that I really can't stand is Jake Hager.
I couldn't really stand him before the
I didn't like him when he was Swagger before the whole We the People thing.
Yeah, like
when he showed up, he was just like, okay, who's that jobber guy?
Yeah, that guy was not a fan.
No. And then it became everything that he had, and then it became We the People, and the only good thing to come out of We the People was when Jericho yelled out that that's part of bad creative.
Yeah,
that was fun. You know?
That was fun.
But no, I'm happy Garcia is, you know, alive and well, and it's great that he got put over by an icon, by a legend himself.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of the dudes that gets like the chance, even if he's being a dick, he's still getting chance.
Yeah, and it's also
him so much.
Yeah, and it's also someone else that technically should not have been wrestling anymore.
Yeah,
and his determination, and you know, everything to prove himself that he's still got it, that he's not gonna, you know, get injured to the point of, you know, any worse than he is, you know? Yeah.
And the cool thing about this match was also that he was also like working the fact that his injury throughout the match, he was working the fact that he had a concussion and stuff like that. He was working the fact that he could have been hurt throughout the match. Mm-hmm. He was holding his head for a while. He kind of like stumbled a couple times here and there throughout the match. And that basically got the people in the crowd kind of worried. Like, holy shit, is he okay? Is everything going to be okay? Is he going to make it through this match? Which was perfect. That was perfect, like, psychology right there. That's psychology 101. What you don't tend to see sometimes from a lot of places. And it was great.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. It was really damn good, which led to essentially another badass episode of fucking Dynamite. Because it wasn't really a bad moment for Dynamite. It was really damn good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I mean, everything I got to see, I definitely enjoyed.
It was a good episode of Dynamite. I don't remember watching. I don't think I watched Rampage. Did you watch Rampage?
I did not get to watch Rampage. I was actually was working.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were.
I have a job now. You know, I gotta go to work.
Yes, I forget. Which is the reason why we're recording all the other shows pretty late too. So
yeah.
Yeah. So that's fair. My bad. Then we got SummerSlam over this past weekend as well.
Yeah. Which I did not watch because it started at the bedtime routine for the girls, and plus like they weren't going down, and then finally they went down, and I'm just like, screw it. And then Twitter was exploding, and I kept seeing results on matches. I'm like, you know what, screw it, I'll just go to Twitter.
I'll just read it all on Twitter.
Yeah, basically. And that's fair. And from the things I did see, I enjoyed. It's just, it definitely felt different.
Yes, it was very different. It was a really good show. As compared to some of the other shows that we've seen in the past, This was essentially, you could really consider it the exit show for Vince McMahon, because this was also, you know, this was the last show that he really like had a lot of input into. Mm-hmm. from before, you know, anything else, all the shit that happened. And this was a fun man. It was a fun pay-per-view. Like, I really enjoyed it. It started with Bianca Belair and who was it? Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship.
It's yeah, what and a it was
fucking match.
And it was nice that they didn't have Becky win in 26 seconds.
Yes, they did not.
Like their last match.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this was a really good match. And what sucks is that Becky actually dislocated her shoulder during the match. And she worked through it.
Yeah.
She was working with a broken shoulder, or dislocated shoulder. And she kept going hard throughout this entire match.
That's so true. But,
yeah. This was a hell of a match. It was a hell of an opener. Leave it to two of the, essentially, the two of the best workers in WWE to put together an amazing fucking starter for the pay-per-view. Of course, Becky Lynch lost after a while. After 15 minutes, it was a 15-minute match, which was not bad for a starter for a WWE match. It was good. It was a really good match. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. Probably the best match of the night, even though it just started it all. I really enjoyed it a lot. But not only just that I enjoyed then, but the post-match was actually really fucking good too, when we get the return of Bayley, which I fucking love. Bayley, she's fucking good. She's finally back after what? How long? What, like almost 2 years, a year and a half, or something like that.
It was close to 2 years. Sorry, this just in. I'm on Twitter. Parker Boudreau officially debuted on AEW tonight.
Yes, 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 he did. He debuted on Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what was his WWE name?
Wasn't he, I don't remember his name in WWE.
He was the one that they were saying looked like a young Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So now so now basically each company has a Brock.
Yeah.
So we're okay.
Think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the two companies that I watch have a Brock Lesnar, so the world is safe. All right. Anyway, back to SummerSlam.
He used to go by Harlan. That was Harlan.
Right, right. So yes. There we go.
Yeah. But Bayley returned. Fucking great. But not only just did she return, she also came out with Dakota Kai, who was released from NXT a month ago. And not only just her, but also how do you say her name? AO.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember how to say her fucking name. This is horrible. Io Shirai. Jesus. Yeah, Io Shirai. She returned as well. Just before she returned, she was pretty much looking to pretty much leave.
Mm-hmm.
She was about to go back to Japan and do her stuff over there in Stardom and stuff like that. But then, of course, you know, the news of Triple H doing his thing over here was like, okay, cool, I'll come back. Because she had a really good run over in NXT and stuff like that. And this is pretty cool because now we have essentially Triple H is a fan of factions, but we have a full women's faction now in AEW, in WWE, which we haven't had one in a while, have we? Or have Not we ever I... had a women's faction?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've had tag teams, but never a faction as far as I know.
Right. Okay. So I'm not tripping when I was like, okay, I don't think we had one. But yeah, I guess we never have. But it's cool to actually have one, especially with, you know, with a badass like Bayley. She's fucking good. Dakota Kai mm-hmm. is fucking awesome. Io Shirai is fucking really good.
We're stupid.
Why are we stupid?
The Four Horsewomen, the Riot Squad.
Really, oh yeah, the Riot Squad with Ruby Riot.
Yeah, Freedom, the Queen's yeah. Court.
I don't remember the beautiful people.
Yeah, see, it, they're like, because this is all the shit that was under Vince.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, I gotcha. Oh, and also, these girls in fucking NXT too. Toxic Attraction. That's a women's faction. Yeah, I forgot about them too. Yeah. Oh well, I guess that makes the it sees how much attention I pay to this to the women's. You know, roster. But yeah, it was really cool to have these three come out. And then they came into the ring, and then it looks like they were about to beat up Belair. And then at that point, you see Becky Lynch run back into the ring. Like, yo, you're not fucking with her. You gotta come through me too.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially giving Becky that whole face turn, which I enjoy because I like seeing Becky Lynch as a good guy, as a baby face, because of course, you know, she's really good on the mic. She also has really good heel promos, but I enjoy her more as a baby face.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. And we'll talk about more of baby face Becky Lynch a little bit later. But This was a good opener. This was a good way to start the pay-per-view. And I was really excited about it. Like, this was good. I was excited to see what else was going to come out throughout the rest of the night. Then the next match after that was Logan Paul versus The Miz. I enjoy Logan Paul when he was in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He was really good, a lot better than I expected.
Yeah.
And this, it was the same to me too. Like, he was really damn good. So fucking good. A lot better than, still, again, a lot better than I expected. I like what he's doing. I like that he is a fan of wrestling, and that he is putting in the work that you know, a person that would actually want to actually do this for real is doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually training. He's actually taking the bumps. He's actually doing everything that needs to be done to put over his character, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really fun match. And Logan Paul won. He had a great fucking he did a frog splash from the top rope onto the Miz on the commentator's table, which was absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah, I did see that.
Absolutely fucking nuts. I was like, holy shit. This dude, who essentially, like, that was not my guy. Like, I did not give a fuck about him before. I'm being for real. Like, I didn't give a fuck. I was like, why is he, you know, why is he doing anything, period? But yeah, this was really damn good. Really fucking good. Then the match after that one was, once again, Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory for the United States Championship. And it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a good match either. It was just a match. I don't really give a fuck. I'll keep saying it. Like, I don't give a fuck about Austin Theory or Theory. I don't care. I don't care for his character.
No, me neither.
And Theory lost by submission in 4 minutes. Oh, 4.5 minutes. It was like I said, it was a decent match. It was good. It was pretty much like a bit of a squash, because of course, you know, Bobby Lashley is a massive dude. And you don't expect anything else other than the opponent getting squashed.
Right.
Because he's fucking good. He's good at what he does. And I like seeing Bobby Lashley in the ring.
I like face Lashley better.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because heel Lashley just isn't really that good. Like, he's just surrounded by people that don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. But I like what they did with him. I'm glad that this whole thing with Theory and Lashley is pretty much done for. So yeah. No more of that, which is great. I like that. And then we got the Mysterios going against Judgment Day, which was decent. It was a no DQ match. It was okay. This was one of the most okay matches of the entire thing.
Yeah,
like it was okay. And then not only just was it okay, but what was it? Edge came out and
I like that Edge is using Metalingus again.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that he's doing it again.
But he just needs the long hair back.
Yeah. He looks like PC Principal, dude. He really does.
He really does.
He really, really fucking does look like PC Principal. It's fucking hilarious. But, you know, it's cool that he came back. But him coming back didn't really help anything. Well, right. I guess it did. It did.
Well, because, you know, he inadvertently speared Dominic, right?
Yeah, but that was on Raw.
Raw. We're talking about SummerSlam.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was cool for him to see him come back. Oh, okay, fine. And then the Mysterios beat Judgment Day, which was, it was okay, like I said.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy. A fun match that came out after that was Pat McAfee against Happy Corbin.
McAfee's fucking good.
He's really good. And what I like about Corbin is that, not Corbin, but McAfee, is that he is so damn athletic that there are moments that you think he fucked up. But he saves himself right after, just as he's doing it, as the fuck up is happening. Like, he's on the top rope and he's trying to go for something and he looks like he's about to fall, but he straightens up and he does it.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit, that's really fucking good. Not many people can do that.
No, not at all.
No, not that many people can do that. And some people will kind of stutter and then fall. But he did that a couple times during the match, and that actually looked like, okay. Okay, like you know what he's trying to do something and he's making it work. It was a fun match, like I said. Corbin, he's good. He's good. Like, I've seen him a few times, and like, he's not the best. He's been around for a good time, but the reason that they were going up against him, they've had a pass before, and you know, one was talking shit about the other, and like I said, it was a fun match. It was okay. Like, Pat McAfee won. And this was actually like a longer match than I expected. I wasn't expecting an almost 11-minute match out of this. But it was pretty good. It was fun. It was decent. And then we got, right after that, we had the Usos versus the Street Profits. And I'm going to start by saying that the Street Profits are really fucking good.
Oh, yeah. They're a lot of fun. Montez Ford is so fucking athletic.
Yeah, he's fucking great. But not only just that, but like Angelo Dawson for a bigger dude is actually really fucking good, too. Like, you don't really expect it when you first see him doing the thing, but they're good. They work really good together, too. So I hope that the rumors that's been going around for a little bit is that they don't break up. Because they're good.
Right.
They're a good tag team. They work very well with each other. The Usos, they're the Usos. They mm-hmm. like WWE needs to like get rid of the unified titles. I get it. They're trying to just feed off of one team somewhere.
Right.
But the fact that neither one of them or any of them are actually going anywhere other than just like on the main show from time to time kind of mm-hmm. sucks. But give the title to some other people. There's more people within the company that you can fucking work with. But this was a fun match. This was okay. Like, unfortunately, you know, the Street Profits did not win this. But, you know, it was okay. Oh, also, Jeff Jarrett was the actual guest referee, which didn't really serve any purpose to this, but could have just had anybody in there as a referee, honestly.
Right.
But it was an all right match. It was okay. Nothing spectacular about it. It was, you know, good spots here and there. But yeah, like I said, Usos won. Yay.
Yay.
then we had Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey. In the shortest match of the pay-per-view. 4 minutes, 35 seconds. It was a decent match. Ronda Rousey, I don't see why she's still there. I'm not hating on her, but like, there are other people that you can go up against. And essentially, it looks like there's going to be another match because this match ended with Ronda having Liv in an arm bar while Liv is pinning her at the same time because she stood up as she was putting her in the arm bar. So Ronda's shoulders were on the ground while Liv was tapping at the same time that the referee was pinning, counting to three.
Right.
So we know that, you know, Ronda wound up turning heel, and we're going to get another match out of this.
Well, right now, you know, according to WWE, Ronda's suspended because of attacking an official. You know, it's a whole story bullshit.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. She'll be suspended for a week, and she'll be back next week after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I get it. But yeah, that's also give Liv a chance to fucking just
be a champion.
Yeah, be a champion. Actually, squash other people. Because that's what you expect champions to actually do, right? Squash the underling, right. Especially in WWE. Like, there's no. Wins and losses don't really give a fuck about over there, so just have them fight anybody. As long as it's not the same person 4 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Which is one of those things that they do over there. But this was a meh match. But like I said, it was just a little around the 4.5 minutes. Yeah. I'm glad that Liv still holds the title. But like I said, it was still a meh match. And then we had the main event with Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar.
Former Lesnar?
Yeah, former Lesnar.
Coming out on a fucking tractor.
Yeah, a tractor. Which, how did nobody ever see the tractor the entire time that the whole pay-per-view was going on.
Right.
How was they not like, oh yeah, there's a tractor on the fucking rampway to get into the fucking ring. Nobody said anything. Nobody noticed anything. We didn't see it on the TV. But yeah, that happened. We dragged the trailer, a tractor out to the ring. Which was okay. Like, oh, okay. Like, he's trying to, you know, show off. Like, yeah, I'm going to do something cool. Because this is a last man standing match. So I'm going to do anything to make sure that I come out on top.
He literally fucking lifted the entire ring up with that tractor.
Yeah. It was a pretty cool spot before the match even started when Brock Lesnar introduced himself. Which was, I was like, that's kind of cool. And then he threw the mic down to Reigns, and Reigns caught it like nothing.
That's the catch scene around the world. It's just like fly. Just caught it like, yeah, what?
Yeah. That was like the pretty boy fly. I was like, okay.
I wonder how many times they practiced him catching the mic, or did he just catch it on a whim like that?
Yeah.
And just played it so cool.
Yeah.
Because it fits the character.
Exactly. It fits his character. It was a decent match. It wasn't bad. This was the longest match overall. Of course, that is the main event, but it was like 23 minutes long. Nothing too bad. Nothing too crazy. Pretty good spots throughout the match. Of course, this was a last man standing match, so you would expect them to actually go all out on it. And they did. They did. They had some really good, showings. And then at one point, Brock Lesnar got kind of pissed off, and he dragged the trailer and pulled it closer to the ring, pushed the ring just a little bit, and then lifted the ring from one side. And then you see Reigns just roll off the ring. Like, what the fuck is going on? Probably one of the craziest things I've seen in WWE for a while. We haven't really seen a lot of crazy shit like that in a long time. But it was cool. It wasn't a bad spot. It was pretty cool. It was fun. Like I said, it was a fun match. And then at one point after a while, Roman Reigns was like, yo, we gotta end this fucking match. He got tired of it, of course. So he just started going all out on him, on Brock. He hit him with like three Superman punches and he didn't go down. And then he started hitting him with the stairs. Didn't go down. Threw him on the table. Couldn't go down on the announce table. Couldn't go down. And then they just started throwing shit on top of him. And then it was pretty much like, yeah, after throw everything on somebody that would essentially like lead them to not being able to stand in that match. Because you're literally covered by shit the entire time.
Yeah.
It was a decent match. I'm pretty sure I would hope that this is the last of the Reigns and Lesnar feud. I hope it's over.
Yeah, me too.
This is like the 18,000th time that they've gone with each other. They don't put bad matches together, but I want to see something different. I want to see something else. I want to see what else is going on. Who else can actually do? Well, there is nobody else that can actually go up against Reigns right now. That's worth even like, oh yeah, this dude's really damn good. This sure as hell isn't Theory, who was tempted. He attempted to cash in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
How do you attempt to do this in the middle of a match, in the middle of a last man standing match on top of it all? And which was funny because Reigns picked up the briefcase and hit him with it, his own briefcase, after he was trying to cash it in. He took it from the ref, smashed him with it, and then he went and he took the same case and actually beat fucking Reigns, to beat Lesnar with it multiple times. They use it as a weapon. Have we seen them use that case as a weapon before? Probably have, right?
Probably have.
I don't remember. I don't remember because it's been a while since I've been watching a lot of this shit. But that was fun. It was fun. Like I said, it was a fun match. It was a decent pay per view. Not bad. It's worth checking out if you haven't watched it. Even if you just watched the first match and the last match, you'll be satisfied. And then today, we didn't record this as of Monday. Today I actually watched Monday Night Raw, or Raw, because they don't call it Monday Night Raw anymore. Whatever. But Raw was actually pretty decent. I enjoyed Raw. Granted, I didn't watch it for 3 hours.
Right.
The sum factor of what Hulu decides to put up, which I enjoy, because if only an hour and a half of a 3 hour show. Yeah, this was actually pretty good. It was a good hour and a half of wrestling. They had it started off with a really good promo from Becky Lynch, pretty much saying like, yo, like this whole weepy, whiny version of Becky Lynch, she was pissed about it because I did all this for nothing because that's not who I really am. I'm not, you know, I'm not a fan of being a weepy, whiny person, and I'm sorry that I put you guys through all this shit. You said you're saying like, yo, like I fucked up, like, I was being a little baby, and that's not who I am. I'm supposed to be the man. Like, she's like, okay, so we kind of see where she's going with it, and then she pretty much called out Bianca Belair. She was like, yo, like, come out here, you know, I'm gonna give you your props. They hugged it out. And then Becky was like, yo, like, I'll see you soon, dude. She's like, keep holding it down. Essentially means that, you know, Becky's gonna be out for some time.
Yeah, Becky's out with a separated shoulder for a couple of months.
Yeah.
But it's nice that, like, you know, that Bianca was like, you are the man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because like Becky's Twitter images or whatever, she changed to like sort of like how she looked back when she was the man and shit. So like, it's cool that like when Becky Lynch returns, she'll be that badass character that she was. You know, like exactly. right before she became a mom. You know,
right? Exactly.
Because remember, like she had that whole badass gimmick, and then she had given Asuka the title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna go home and be a mom.
Yep.
You know, so like it's cool that like when she comes back, she'll be face. She'll be.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be what we want.
Exactly.
Because she didn't want like, I mean, this promo or not, like she literally did not want to be this character that they sort of forced her way into. Yeah. So
it's cool. It's cool that there is exactly happening this way, and I like it.
And this is the first complete show of Triple H.
Yeah, the first one, and it was actually really good. It was good.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he looks like he knows what he's doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after this, after this awesome promo, while Becky, while Belair is still in the ring. Becky Lynch gets attacked in the back by who they're now known as Control.
Okay.
Which is the faction with what's her face?
With Bailey and
With Bailey and Dakota Kai, and now newly named Io Sky. Which is not too bad of a name. It's not, you know, it's not too far off, I guess.
Right.
But it was, essentially solidifying the fact that Bailey isn't going to be around for a little while. Because, of course, it looked like they put her arm in between a chair and they gave her a contrario and shit, blah, blah, blah. The usual shit that tends to happen whenever, you know, they want somebody to go away for a while. You get hit with a couple chairs, and it's a wrap for a couple weeks. But of course, now it's not going to just be a couple weeks. It's going to be a few months. But yeah, it was a decent thing that happened there, which essentially was the commentator was like, okay, yeah, it's time to start the wrestlings, or more wrestlings. And we had two triple threat matches that would have, the two winners of both matches would have had a number one contenders match for the United States Championship match, which is essentially what they're doing at this point. They're actually trying to make this title not just a bullshit gimmick title in having essentially a tournament at the moment, which is fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's good that they're actually trying to, you know, make it a better title. Whatever happens to the Intercontinental title, honestly,
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is this essentially the Intercontinental title now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, because like I don't remember seeing it in quite some time. But yeah, so essentially, we have who was it in the first one? I forgot. My brain just went to mush. My brain just went to mush just now.
Yeah, I didn't watch Ross. I don't know.
Yeah, give me a second. Give me a second. I'll look it up right now. Okay, so for Raw, we had... Where is it? Okay, Bianca Belair, blah, blah, blah. Becky Lynch. So the first match was AJ Styles, Mustafa Ali, and The Miz. Great fucking match. Mustafa Ali, fucking great. Miz, pretty good. He didn't really do much because he had his abs or his stomach pretty much wrapped up. Because of course, you know, Logan Paul jumped on his stomach, which was okay. 80s Styles, fucking 80s Styles, dude. Yeah. Really damn good. There was one spot that he did that was fucking insane, which was the finisher. Off of Mustafa Ali and The Miz at the same time. Fucking great. And then AJ came out with the pin on top of that one. That was fucking good. It was a really good damn, you know, actual match. I enjoyed the hell out of that. Then they had Street Profits, blah, blah, blah. Which I didn't see that one on the Hulu show because of course they just, you know, canceled that out of there, took that out of there completely. And then Alexa Bliss and Asuka had a match, but was interrupted by Control because they're trying to control everything. They came in and they interrupted the match, which essentially opens up the possibilities of having Control versus Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Bianca Belair, because they're all, you know, looking at each other after everything was said and done. So it's gonna be pretty cool. I'm excited to see what they gotta do with this. Excited to see other women actually wrestling in WWE right now.
Yeah.
Different feuds, not just the same shit that we've been seeing
week after week after week. Yep.
Yeah, so this will be interesting. And then the other qualifier match was Tommaso Ciampa, or just Ciampa, against Dolph Ziggler and Chad Gable. This was another fucking cool-ass match. Ciampa, he's really fucking good.
I like that they're pushing him.
Yeah, me too. Granted, yeah, he's been like, you know, just the Miz's right-hand man. But he doesn't need to be. because he's good. He doesn't need to be somebody else's, you know, underling or whatever. He's fucking good in the ring. He shoots hell of a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking awesome. He's really that good.
And next week, we will see him versus Lashley for the United States Championship.
Yes. Because after this match, he went up against AJ Styles, and he beat AJ Styles, and that was good. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then Edge came out, been pretty much saying like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna destroy Judgment Day."
He pretty much in his promo, right? He pretty much said like he's sorry he was a dick.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like he's sorry for this, and he tried to do something, and it didn't work. And then, you know, but the fact that two heels had to apologize for being assholes goes to show you bad creative and new creative.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
But yeah, it's good to see Edge come back as a face because again he just needs the long hair; it fits the character better.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, as you call them, PC principal.
Yeah, that's because that's what he looks like, especially with those stupid glasses.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, well, with those glasses like that, no, that is not that's no, thank you. Just fucking weird.
That design for his new shirt is dope, though.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It is pretty cool.
Yeah, I might have to grab that.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
But
then we had another match. Of course, we had the one that you were talking about, the Ciampa AJ Styles match, which is a good match. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, Ciampa won. Like I said, it was a good match. The main event, and why, was the Usos versus the Mysterios for the title. For the Undisputed Tag Team title. This is okay match. The Usos are good.
Dominic is really good.
He's really good, but he's essentially like the jobber of the team. Because he's the one that gets pinned. No matter what, he always is the one that gets pinned. And he got pinned in this one too. He got the shit on the stick of this one. Mm-hmm. He really did. Literally, like, it was sad.
Just as I mentioned earlier, it's like he inadvertently got speared by Edge, who's trying to come out and save the day.
But the reason he got speared by Edge was because Rhea Ripley pushed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the Usos could have easily, Jey Uso could have easily just gotten the hit. But he pushed him just in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got speared, and then all the officials and doctors came to check him out. Like, oh, is he okay? Is he okay? Which essentially was like, okay, are they going to keep him out for a little while? It's going to be interesting.
Right? You know, and with that, that would have been a perfect thing for JR. Oh my God, it tore him in half.
Yeah, exactly.
My God. So,
but yeah, this was actually a decent episode of Raw. I enjoyed it a good amount. Like, there was nothing really bad about it.
I'm happy that the show feels different. I mean, granted, I didn't watch the full show. I didn't even watch the Hulu side. I watched clips. The energy was different.
Yes.
The energy was different. Mm-hmm. The energy was different with the talent as well as the people watching.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The people in the crowd didn't seem fucking bored.
No, they weren't. I wasn't bored watching it at home. And usually when I tend to watch these WWE shows, I tend to be bored after a while.
I'm curious to see what SmackDown's going to be like now. Right. Which I might actually have to watch.
Exactly. I'm very curious about it. This was actually a fun match. Like, it was a fun night overall. If I were to rate it, it's a lot better, a lot more cohesive storyline than things actually having a beginning, middle, and end to a story through each show.
Right.
Granted, yes, it's going to be going further throughout the weeks, but it sets everything up perfectly, which is what you would expect.
It's slowly not becoming all over the place.
Right. It like I said, it's a cohesive story that's going from one to the next to the next to the next. And I am enjoying it so far.
Did you see there was another promo from Bray Wyatt from The Fiend on his, it begins again. It mentions Edge, shows his picture.
Okay.
And do we think we're going to get Bray Wyatt back in WWE now that Vince is gone?
I would not be surprised.
Because I know all the talks of him joining Impact and then all the talks of him joining AEW to be the new leader of the Dark Order. I mean, he'd be great as the new leader of the Dark Order. But,
he would be, especially since there's only four dudes in it now.
Yeah. The Dark Order is a shell of its former selves.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't mind him back on Raw, especially like now that Vince is gone and Triple H is in charge of creative and knows what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, Triple H has come a long way in his writing and creativity.
Oh, for sure.
And I mean, you have somebody in control who literally created or co-founded one of the best factions in that company.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but to the not point where that, but he also manned NXT for the time that it was the black and gold,
which was
the best part.
Right, but like
of anything,
he took his creativity from creating DX to Evolution and all that stuff, but then to literally making pretty much like its own company within the company.
Mm-hmm.
Because NXT did not feel like Raw or SmackDown at all.
Because it had a new feel to it.
Yeah, it was all these new. It was all these guys, all these new guys that were guys and girls that like they were given an opportunity, and there were so many fucking good matches on NXT that there were times when they used to do the thing at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. It's like there were so many times that the that NXT outsold SummerSlam.
Yeah.
You know? And it's good to see that Triple H is back in full control of everything now. And then I heard that he wants to make Raw 2 hours again, which enough of this 3 hour bullshit. It was cool on the occasion, but that's also back when they actually had, when it was TV 14 and they had matches,
right.
Matches and promos that led into matches, not bullshit.
Exactly. Yep.
And then also, and then I heard lastly with him is that he wants to somehow make NXT sort of back to the black and gold in whatever way he can.
Right.
You know, at least with like maybe matches and stories.
Not just having matches. They do have matches, but
right.
Good matches. People that actually
good matches.
Shit that people actually give a fuck about.
I mean, I know when you went to NXT a couple of months ago, like you enjoyed it, but yeah, I mean,
I enjoyed it so much that I'm thinking about going to NXT when they come back over here in another month. So they're supposed to be back over here on the 30th. So
okay, but like, there's a difference between what NXT was and what NXT is now, right. And the thing about live. Live changes your whole mood because live is just so much better. Like even with AEW for me, like AEW is fantastic. I watch it every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But like when I went to Grand Slam, it was so much better. And then it revived my feel of watching it at home. And then now looking forward to Grand Slam in September, it's like I really can't wait to just get that revigoration, you know what I mean? Like that, just be like revived and watching it and then going home and watching it on Wednesdays. So like now with Triple H in charge of creative and whatnot, I wouldn't mind going to a Raw or a SmackDown because it's totally a different beast now, you know? It's like so much different.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah.
I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. I'm excited to see how things are going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that, you know, Triple H is in charge of pretty much everything. Granted, isn't HBK part of that over there too? Because I know he does a lot of shit over there.
HBK took over when Triple H was out.
Okay, so no more HBK running it over there?
He'll probably co-run it.
Coach over there. Okay.
He'll probably coach, but he'll probably like co-run it with. I mean, Triple H and Shawn Michaels are some of the closest friends in that company. Yeah. I'm sure he'll still.
Okay. Regardless, it's still gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Because I honestly enjoyed NXT a bit more than I did the regular roster stuff. So. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. I want to see what they're going to do with it. Especially now that, you know, we're getting people that pretty much disappeared coming back. It's kind of like they kind of like a lot of them have been blipped, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting.
Here's an interesting piece of news. Bayley's new stable was turned down by Vince.
Yeah. Yep.
Bayley's new stable that debuted at SummerSlam was reportedly an idea that had been going around for a while and was turned out by Vince McMahon multiple times in the past, but Triple H went through it with the idea and brought it back. That's because Triple H knows what sells.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, and that, I guess that's one thing that Vince, we know obviously now that Vince doesn't give a fuck about people anymore.
No. No.
And now he doesn't need to because he's not in charge of anything anymore. Fuck him.
No.
No, but this episode of Raw was actually really good. Good enough that actually like I sat through the whole thing that I was able to see. So kudos to them. Excited to see how else things are going to be changing from now on. Granted, it's only been the first week. So it was watchable. It's a watchable show again. So
I'm gonna have to probably watch SmackDown on Thursday when I get home from work.
Yeah, do it, dude. It should be fun. Like I said, it was a fun couple hours. So I think that pretty much wraps it up for this week. Anything else you want to add?
No, I got nothing.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, thank you guys for checking out the show. Go check out stuff over there at InnerCityGeeks.net, where we've got a whole bunch of shit sometimes because we've got this show now and also the main show, Inner City Geeks, the Inner City Geeks podcast over there. Then some a whole bunch of other shit, a lot of cool links to places, especially Fight TV, where you got a whole lot of wrestlings for free. I have not watched Ric Flair's Last Ride or Last Match.
Me neither.
Which I need to watch. By the time the next episode comes, I'll have watched it. We'll talk about that. But yeah, there's a lot of cool wrestling over there on Fight TV. So check out the link. It'll take you over there. Get some cool shit over there. Check out some cool wrestlings because we got a lot of shit over there. And then you can find us on the socials on Twitter. Actually, you can find us on Zublex City Geeks on Twitter. And if you want to follow the main stuff on Inner City Geeks, find us on Inner City Geeks on the Instagram, Twitter, Facey Space, all those places. Or just look up all Inner City Geeks stuff over there. Where can we find you, Senor?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, both Bri2J, Bri2J Presents. Check those out. Check out Bright2JPresents.com. Check out Bright2JPresents on YouTube, where I have a couple of new things that are up on the channel, and I got new things coming sooner than later, once I get out of COVID hell. Kind of hard to talk, you know, and review a thing while still with a bit of a sore throat. So yeah, check out all that, and thank you guys for hanging out and, you know, getting and staying with me despite all my multiple hiatuses.
It happens, dude. It happens. It happens. It's part of life, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And you guys can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. So like I always say, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys. Brian appreciates you guys. It's been great. So we'd like to wish you the best in all your future endeavors.